You're listening to the best of the New Day. Feel the power on Spotify.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Ooh! Welcome to the greatest podcast of all time, which is entitled The New Day.
Where is it entitled? What did you say?
Which is entitled? Which is entitled?
Man, do it again!
They just said
do it right! Well, do it right!
Welcome to the greatest podcast of all time, which is entitled The New Day.
Feel the power!
Baby! But the one, they never ask us to do anything. The one thing they asked, was to not have a long
get
intro.
Get a tighter intro is what they asked.
We got one. We got the longest one. It's done. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Y'all just watched it. We just watched it. That's a lie. We're recording this before it is aired. So thank you for joining us on this joyous occasion. We're going to talk about a lot of things involving the Rumble. Some stories, some heartache. And some hope.
Yes. And let me begin by saying we were all approached and asked about Rumble stories, and I had nothing. We know damn well this is all Kofi. Woods and I haven't done one interesting thing at the Royal Rumble.
Well, no. Things have happened to me.
Like what?
Like I got told I was in it, and then I wasn't in it.
No, you were not just told you were in it. You were the first one to officially announce
yes.
being
announced.
In the Royal Rumble.
I announced. Was told so. It was my first January era of being on WWE television, and I wasn't really doing anything, and I got told, hey, you're gonna go out on commentary or like do a backstage, whatever it was, and announce that you're the first person putting themselves into the Rumble. I was like, oh, this is awesome. I get to do that. I've never been able to do anything like this. Cool. So I go out and I say it, and then for like the next 2 or 3 weeks, whatever it is, I'm talking about how I'm going to be in the Royal Rumble. And then before the Rumble begins, they have everybody sit down. They have all the numbers. So they're giving it. What?
I don't know. Kofi's over here snickering.
It's funny to me. This is funny.
Oh, yeah. It's funny to me. I got all these great Royal Rumble moments. No, I got all these fantastic,
this is an individual
incredible
moment.
Moments. But this is so funny to me that you never got a shot that year when it meant so much to me. Let me tee-hee about it.
You're over here tee-heeing still.
Come on, oh cool. Boy, is this not okay? Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. All I feel is sympathy and heartache.
This man over here. I was laughing about something
laughing.
Else.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, great.
I was laughing about
great.
Something else.
Yeah, sip your drink.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house, everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
So we had the Royal Rumble meeting. Everybody got what number they were. And at the end of it, I raised my hand and said, I didn't get a number. So it's like, oh, well, for the past 3 weeks, I've been on WWE television. Y'all's show, you have told me to go out and explain that I am in the Rumble. Looked over the papers again. Must have ran out of space. Maybe next year.
Was that the actual quote?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, terrible.
What is...
Who said that?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, move on.
Things. We're cool now. And then I don't think I was in it the next year either.
You weren't in the next year?
I don't think so. Because I remember talking to Devon about how he had only been in, like, he was either in no Rumbles or has only been in one Rumble on his tenure with the company. And I was like, oh, maybe I can beat that record.
Of one?
Of none?
Oh, you mean the other way?
Yeah.
Okay, of less.
But wasn't that the year that they didn't bring you to it and then your name was on the sheet?
That was the next year, yeah.
Oh.
So I was supposed to be in it,
yeah.
But I never got travel. And then my phone was blowing up. People asking where I am. I'm not in the meeting. It's like, yeah. Y'all didn't tell me I was on the show. So, like, 2 years in a row, I just screwed out of the Rumble. It's like, but I mean, let's be honest. Like, I wouldn't have been doing anything anyway but getting knocked out. So, it's fine. It was fine. I've dealt with it.
That's the story of your pre-New Day career.
Yeah, it was real, real good.
Yeah, real
Things
nice.
Going great for me.
Yep. Real nice. And me, when I was asked for Rumble moments, I have none. Not one memorable moment. Not a single one. Not one elimination. I'm out here being big for nothing.
Yeah. At least I'm like smaller than you.
Right, right. So you got an excuse. Like,
you have none.
Big for 19. Yeah.
No. She's no size for.
No.
Who we play for? So nobody got muscles for no reason.
For no reason. I will say one thing that I've often joked about, I might have tweeted about as well, is you see people make the mistake of trying to eliminate a lot of people. And it's not about eliminating others. It's about not being eliminated. Mm. So 1 year, and I need to actually do this when I don't really care anymore.
We'll buy the stuff for you.
Yeah. Mm. 1 year, I'm going to get real fat. I'm going to bulk to Rumble. People like to cut to Mania, get real lean, get abs so they can go out there shirtless and look good. Mm. Me, I'm going to bulk to Rumble.
Rumble bulk.
And it's not going to be a good bulk.
Rumble
it's going to be a fat bulk.
My bulk right now.
Fat bulk.
Where you're at right now. Yeah.
That's what I want. And I'm going to get real greased up.
Greased.
I'm talking about a layer of cocoa butter, a layer of baby oil, a layer of lotion, and then double. I'm going to come back and hit all those layers again.
Okay.
Real greased up, real fat, and I'm going to just slide in running hard.
What are you wearing, though? What are you wearing?
I got to think about that. Hmm. Probably less clothing than I am now.
It's like this, this little trunks?
Little trunks, little baby tiny trunks.
Little baby trunks.
Yeah. So I'll wear next to nothing, run in like I'm about to do something, and I'm going to slide right to the middle and lay down, starfish. I'm going to display my legs out, lay my arms out, and say, come get me. Come get me, sucker. Because it's going to be real hard when I'm all greased up and real fat.
Why can't you say greased?
That's how I pronounce it. Greased up. A layer of Crisco, too. I forgot about the Crisco.
I was going to say.
You got add the Crisco, too.
Get that real slick.
I said, come get me if you want.
I feel like out there under those lights, you might start cooking.
Just start sizzling. I might. Yeah, there's an episode of Seinfeld where Kramer was on the roof cooking after he, like, but y'all don't watch Seinfeld.
No.
I digress. But yeah, so that's my plan for the Rumble, which I have yet to execute, but
That's your Rumble hope.
That's my Rumble hope.
Yes, there
but,
we go.
Up to now, as far as memorable Rumble moments, not a one.
Not a single.
I would say only, assistant Kofi, Mr. Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Yeah, I call him Mr. Royal Rumble.
That's the thing. You realize where you're going to fit in, and you go, let's help Kofi.
Yes. Do you beef with Sean over the Rumble?
No, actually, Sean and I were on the bump together this morning talking about the Royal Rumble. You know? But no, we don't have any beef. I mean, he's actually won.
Right.
Royal Rumbles, so as far as having the title, I feel like that should be a staple. It's almost like talking about football and like the Hall of Fame, and you haven't won a Super Bowl. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You haven't won a Super Bowl, like
right? You'd be like Dan Marino.
I don't know.
That's cool. Dan Marino's so great.
Okay.
Did a lot of great things. Point. Put up some great stats.
Yeah.
I don't think that I should be called Mr. Royal Rumble. I don't feel comfortable.
Why? What moniker would you
like?
Yeah,
not that.
What you got?
I don't know.
Senor Royal Rumble.
Signor Rumble.
Signore.
I mean,
that's why they call Signor Royal Rumble.
Well, he's never won. I didn't call myself Mister. I said Signore Royal Rumble. Oh, God.
But you have to give it a chef kisses every time.
Chef kiss. Yes. 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 No, I mean, as my Rumble, first Royal Rumble story is not interesting. They asked me if I wanted to be in it, or they just put me on the list, and then I was just in. So
who's like, I don't want to be in the Rumble. Yeah. I'm good.
You'd be surprised, right? Some people, don't like to wrestle. We won't go into that.
Oh, yeah,
you know
true.
What I'm saying? We won't go into that one. But some people don't like to wrestle.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, but give the people some backstory on how you came up with all these fanciful.
Yeah. I think I get a lot of credit for being a guy who comes up with these innovative, like, Royal Rumble moments and everything. The truth of the matter is, 1 year, I saw John Morrison, as many people did, get hit from the apron, and he jumped all the way and kind of Spider-Man parkoured onto the barricade and then looped all the way around, jumped back to the stairs, kicked Regal in the head, and then jumped back into the ring. And then the next year, he wasn't with the company anymore. So I said, I'll do something like that, And obviously the rule is that both feet have to hit the ground. So the first thing that came to my mind is like, well, how about a handstand? My feet won't hit the ground if I go that way. So that kind of like started it all off. So Miz,
Question, had you done handstands before?
I used to do a lot of handstands. So this is actually, it's not interesting, but I mean, I'll say it anyway. So
this is very dull and boring, but I'm going to say
it. I don't know. I think it's cool because I'm a nerd. But anyway, so when I was like trying to do handstands earlier, it'd probably been a good like decade since I had done an actual handstand, like walked on my hands. And most people, when they walk on their hands, like you walk a certain way. But if you watch my clip, I kind of walk backwards because when I was practicing it, I couldn't walk the way that people walk on their hands,
I essentially walked backwards with because it was easier for me. And that, I mean, yeah, like I said, it wasn't interesting, okay? But that was the way, that was the variation of the handstand that I did. So, like I said, like, I get a lot of credit for doing these things. But so Miz is the one who threw my feet. And if he throws my feet too hard one way or the other, I just fall, right? So, you know, if he was a big instrumental part of that. And I just walked back. And then that was, we were off to the races, you know? So I became the guy to, you know, what are you going to do next year? And I said, I don't know.
A lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure.
Okay, since your boy, your inspiration, Morrison, has returned, is there going to be some butting of the heads?
There might. I mean, if we're in there at the same time, I'd imagine we would be remiss not to make a moment out of that. You know, I think there's definitely potential for a moment there. But, you know, I'm sure he wants his stuff back. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. He's always a real innovative dude. Even that match that he had with E, he did a lot of, like, innovative stuff in there. Just, like, little things, like, kind of, I keep saying parkouring when I don't know how to describe what it is that he does. But like he did something where like, I think he hit you with the knee in the corner and then like Spider-Man out through like the top and the middle rope. So just getting out of the ring like that in a creative way is cool. So he's definitely an innovator. I would be surprised if he didn't want to do something innovative in the Rumble this year.
You think he's going to be your biggest competition for like cool stuff on the outside of the ring?
Honestly, I don't put any pressure on myself whatsoever as far as like competition needing to have like a moment that topped last year or a moment that's better than anybody. Like I just go out there and I'll do something and then it'll be good or not. Or if I mess up, then like I'll just get eliminated. You know, so everyone like asks me, it's not a competition to me. I just think that we all like, you know, we want to put on a good match for everybody watching.
Yeah. You know what was dope was when they added the Women's Royal Rumble, you kind of had competition in a way with some of the women. With Casey does a bunch of cool stuff. And of course, like Trin, Naomi, does a bunch of cool stuff as well.
And that so we actually, what did we watch? They did like the WWE Royal Rumble Rewind where they had me and E watch last year his Rumble. And I, you know,
what's the problem?
It was bad, dude. It wasn't good. Like, especially so, because you know I was supposed to jump onto your back for the wheelbarrow spot, right?
Oh,
you
bent over. Yeah.
So we kind of fell, and then my foot like almost hit the ground.
But it didn't.
You know, but it didn't, and I kept it up, and then we finally got back to it, and that it's cool, you know, but not because then you had like Casey, you know, doing her handstand, a real handstand, walking around, twirling, and then going to the rope and then, you know, to the corner and then like wrapping her legs around and then like sitting up. You know what I'm saying? So that was a lot cooler than what I did.
And I was in there Gargano, you know? His first Rumble. He comes in and we have like a tornado DDT that gets messed up. Just real like sloppy.
Yeah.
So it was that. Samoa Joe comes in and throws his towel at me and then starts beating me up on his entrance. And then he eliminates me by just like, he just like thumbs me in the eye, I think, and then throws me out. Very lackluster. And you know when they bring you in for those reruns or replays or whatever,
yeah.
Because you have a memorable match or a memorable moment or something like, hey, to be proud of that people have talked about, hey, let's get him in to watch this again so people can relive this great moment. We said, why did y'all bring us in here for this? There are 30 people in this Rumble. You could have bring in Gargano for his first Rumble, bringing Samoa Joe, bringing people who actually did something. I had zero eliminations. I did nothing cool. Stuff got messed up. Why did you bring me here for this?
But the whole thing. And then even before I did something with Dean Ambrose and my leg almost hit the ground too. You know what I'm saying? So to me, I don't know. I've done a lot of like, or had more impressive moments than the one last year. So like, and then on top of that, Casey is like, oh, hold my, this is how you do it. And then Ember Moon too, you know, I felt like a lot of people had like cooler moments.
And I remember us talking about doing that. We're like, does this work? Is this anything?
Yeah. And legit, what? I think doors had already opened by the time we even talked about it. We couldn't practice it, you know? So, It was what it was.
And here's one of the problems, too, is now you're approaching, almost a decade of having to come up with a new innovative spot. And we talk about wasting. It's not wasting. But you've used some cool innovative moments in other battle royals. Like Andre before. We had, when we were trying to get off the ground as a trio, it was you and I in Battleground was the pay-per-view in Tampa. And we did something because we were trying to establish that we had a connection. And I think you ended up jumping... you got hit and then jumped off the apron onto my shoulders.
Cesaro came for a boot, I think, and I jumped out of the way to avoid his boot and landed on your shoulders.
And I was already eliminated on the floor.
Right.
Right. So you've already kind of used other spots. I mean, you always get... I always like get a little tickle around like January-ish when I'm with you and someone will come up to you and say, hey, you got that Rumble spot plan yet? Because I know you go through this every single year. All this pressure.
Yeah.
Quit pressuring my man.
And especially like fans like, hey, what kind of cool tricks are you going to do? And the trick is winning.
Yeah. That's the main thing. Like, that's what I want to do. You know what I mean? Let's win. You know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't have to like do these things. You should be able to stay in the middle of the ring and win and have your hand raised at the end. Like, that should be the ultimate goal. Not what you gonna do out there? And like literally the day after Rumble, that's when I get asked, you know? But again, like I said, man, I really don't like, either I'll come up with something or I won't, you know? And then I'll get eliminated like everybody else. I put legit zero pressure on myself. So
yeah, I feel like maybe we put more pressure on ourselves to try to think of something.
Yeah. Now that we're all together, yeah, and we're in the ring at the same time, now we feel like we have to help him. But I feel like we should run down some of these moments.
Yeah, Kof, what you got? What do, from your favorites?
Okay, so I think, so 2013, okay, this was where the pogo chair, if you will, when this came out. So people, I've said this in a few different interviews, that I used to room with Hornswoggle pretty much every weekend.
How and was that? That's a whole hour.
A lot of people wouldn't put themselves in that situation, but you know, someone's got to bear the cross. You know what I'm saying? But he was always the guy that I would run ideas off of and bounce ideas as far as like Rumble is concerned. And I couldn't think of one that year. And he goes, "Oh, what are you gonna do? Get a pogo stick from out under the ring?" And like laughing. And I'm sitting there in the hotel room. I'm like, "Wait a minute. You might be onto something." So legit, get out of bed in the room, you know, and get on one of the chairs and lock it in and then just start like hopping on it. And then I'm just like, oh my God, we can make something out of this, you know? And this is legit like the night before the Rumble. I swear to God, like people ask if I think about these things all year. I do not. The idea will come or it will not come, you know? So the next day we get there early, go over there and start trying to do it. And sure enough, it works out, you know? So we figure out a way to do it. And again, getting into the fact that I get a lot of credit. So Tenzai was the one who, like, carried me over there. I didn't jump from the apron to the table. Tenzai carries me over and, like, puts me on and then leaves. And then I get JBL's chair and I get to hopping, you know? And if you notice in the video, it's like tipping forward a little bit. So on the second hop, the seat wasn't locked in. So it tips forward. I'm like, oh! So imagine like if that, so that's the second year, right, of Rumble spots. If I had fallen.
Oh my God.
That would have been it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have had eight more up, you know?
Yeah. Because
come on, man. So I hop and I'm like, oh, it's going to tip. So now I got to like alter my hop. So now I'm like baby hopping and then the chair starts spinning too. So I'm like, okay, now I got to hop sideways. And mind you, it's not a hardwood floor. This is like, you know, squishy, gym mat, whatever it is. So now I'm backwards. Now I'm hopping backwards and I finally get there and I'm just like, oh my God, like I made it. And everybody is, you know, popping, you know, everybody popping, you know what I'm saying? So I get up there and then got kicked out by Cody Rhodes. Right
okay.
Away.
So like, how different do you think your career would be had you fallen out of that chair?
I don't know, dude. Who's to say? Maybe. I mean, I feel like when you talk about Royal Rumble, like not to like toot my own horn, but everyone's like, oh, I can't wait to see what Kofi's going to do.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have been the case. It would have been like, oh, you remember that time Kofi busts his ass? Like, what's this dumbass doing? You know?
Get your dumbass
in the ring, bro. You hopping on a chair. What you doing? You know? But luckily, it worked out.
So, okay. So with, I don't call them stunts, with the stunts that we perform sometimes, I don't think people realize the level of random occurrence that actually happened. So like you tried this with like a locked chair and you attempted it and it worked perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But then as soon as the cameras are on, now everyone's watching. So the one that matters, everything's different. And you still complete this. I don't think people realize how much that actually happens, especially in situations like this, where things are so intricate. Like if one thing it goes awry, like it's all down the drain. So like just watching you go through some of this stuff earlier in the day, it's like you do the jump like once or twice, like, okay, I'm good.
Right.
And we're watching and like, I hope you get that during the show.
And then everyone's high-fiving afterwards, but not having any idea of like, it wasn't supposed to be that dangerous.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Right.
So yeah, no, just lucky it worked out.
Yeah.
But just in general too, we'll often have ideas. It's like, oh, I don't know if anyone can really do that. Oh, Kofi can do it.
Yeah.
Just because, being so absurdly athletic.
It's
just think,
too much.
I don't know if this can be done, but yeah. And then he'll just like kind of get in the ring, mess around with it. Yeah, yeah. I can do this.
That's like, okay, time. So that time that I sprained my ankle.
I knew that's where he was going.
Of course.
I see it on his face. He's just scowling.
Because I was like, do I talk about this? Yeah, it's time to talk about this. So there was a move that I was trying to do where essentially, I think like if I'm in the corner and you run at me, but I like kind of like kip up out of the corner over you. I can't even understand how it works. But anyway, I was trying to do it and Kofi saw me. Yeah, you can do it. Just do it. Just do it. It's fine. You can do it. You're athletic enough. Just do it. And as soon as I landed, I was like, well, sprained my ankle. And y'all,
I remember.
Like, no, seriously, like I can't walk.
That's what puts you in the boot, right?
Yes, that put me in the boot.
Yeah, when you had the New Day boot, I remember being shocked that happened. Because I was like you didn't want to do it at all. It was like such peer pressure. Like, come on, man, just do it. You can do it. Go, man, just do it. It's
I was ready to walk away.
Like, believe in yourself, you know? And you went and did it and like sprained your ankle. I was like, oh my God.
I was like, I've never listened to Kofi.
You can't do it.
You think everyone's like you.
Yeah, exactly.
You just do it. Yeah.
That's the day I realized that Kofi doesn't understand what normal people go through on like an agility level type of thing. We can't just do things. Regular people aren't like you, Kofi.
Come on, man.
It's a different situation, different beast. But okay, so what about, let's see. Rusev throwing you out in the Rosebuds, a little crowd surfing.
Yeah, yeah. And again, like, I didn't do anything. Like, I just got thrown over the top rope and I got caught by a crowd of people, the Rosebuds, and then they put me back in the ring. So, like, everyone thought, like, oh, cool, Kofi, you didn't get eliminated. But I did nothing. I did nothing. I got thrown over the top, got put over there, and then they, the funnier part was, like, Adam Rose went to go do it, and they didn't catch him.
Yeah. You know?
So when Rusev caught me and then put me on the apron, again, I didn't do anything, you know? And then kind of like tightrope walked from the barricade and jumped from the barricade back to the ring. I think that one, that might be the most nervous I've been, you know, having to make that jump. And then also the X factor being the people, because what if you had somebody out there who wasn't a Kofi Kingston fan?
Yeah.
What if he hated me? What if he hated me for all these years? He's like, if I ever get the chance to hit Kofi Kingston, I'm going to do it. And now he's sitting there right next to the barricade. Now there I am. And as I'm about to run out, he puts his hand out or even just like fakes, you know, tries to like, do something to me. And I fall over like. That was the X factor for me. Was the people.
About the guy, the one dude in the Mets jersey.
Yeah,
talk about it.
In the Mets jersey. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got this little soft mustache, you know, and
weak ass mustache.
You know, shaved head, and every single time he gets a seat in the same spot to the left of the ramp, and will come out having to cut promos down the ramp, and he's sitting there, Kofi, you suck, Kofi, Kofi, you suck. And I'm trying to cut this promo, and I'm just like, I don't want to put him over, you know. I don't want to acknowledge him, and he's just over there just squawking in my ear, you know? And if I acknowledge him, then he wins, you know what I'm saying? So for years, man, years and years and years, you know, just always in the same spot every time we're in the Northeast, but I won him over. You know, when Kofi Mania came around, he done jumped on the train, you know? So we won him over in the end. But yes, it can happen, man. Like, what if it was him and he was over there, you know?
Right.
Then he would have tripped me up, and then I would have been, you know, eliminated, and that would have been
imagine that, him pump faking at you, and you slipping and breaking.
Start looking over. But yeah, man. But I was nervous about that because anything can happen, man. Like, that area is so thin. Like, when you run sprints, you have a track to do it. You don't have to run on, like, this, like, you know, 1 foot, a diameter space. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, just we made the jump. And when you saw me celebrate, it was like a shoot celebration. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just and got right in the ring, like, real quick, too. So, yeah, it was cool, man. It was cool just to be able to do something that hadn't been done before.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I remember watching that all day in rehearsals, thinking, this is far.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're making it when you make it, but it's like, if something goes a little bit awry, boy.
Yeah. Because especially, like you said, with the fans, so, like, people are resting their arms on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there could be sweat. There could be residue from, like, a cup, condensation, like, anything. Like, there's so many factors that don't get taken into account.
Right.
It's crazy to me.
Yeah. And a couple of times in rehearsal, too, like, I barely made it. So I'd get to the apron. I'd have to, like, grab the rope to hold myself. But luckily, you know, when the adrenaline was flowing, I could have gone, not to the middle of the ring, but, you know, to the commentator's table. But, you know, we had a lot of adrenaline.
All right, so 2014, Andre the Giant Battle Royale.
The Dre.
The Dre.
That's what we call it. We call it the Dre. Yes.
The Dre, yeah.
The Dre.
The Dre for those of you listening. Okay, so Cesaro tossed you over the turnbuckle. You turn in midair, and you're able to land on the bottom stair.
Yeah.
That was less scary than the other one?
it wasn't scary. Cesaro, anytime I'm in the ring with Cesaro, I have no fear. So, yeah, I remember, like, trying that a couple times and, you know, not making it quite to the bottom stair or going too far, you know. But when game time comes around, like, Cesaro is always on. And again, like me, I didn't do anything. I ran over to him and he threw me out of the ring. I mean, I just turned in the air and landed exactly where he threw me.
Oh, just.
You know?
Well, just.
I mean...
Yeah, it's what you always do. Yeah, he always does. Yeah. Oh, I didn't do anything. What are you talking about?
Fine. That's not the difficult part.
Yes, it is.
No, if he throws me too far, then I go flying.
I applaud you for acknowledging the other people involved in it. It takes two to tango and all that.
But it's not me.
Don't try to fool us. Okay, don't sit here on this day and try to fool us like anyone could just do it. Nah, I ain't buying it. I ain't buying what you're selling.
We need a new product.
Come on, man.
Yeah, so of course, yes, it's very, very skillful of Cesaro. He's very strong, very accurate, but you have to land. That's the thing. You have to land, keep your balance.
But even like, so going into this Royal Rumble, I remember, I think Jamie Noble was the like head producer on it or something like that. And then he came up to me. He's like, oh, so what are you going to do? They want you to do a Kofi spot. I said, a Kofi spot? What do you mean? This isn't the Royal Rumble.
No, you're not getting this out of me twice
a
year.
This is the Dre. You know, I gotta save these. I'm trying to be here for a while. I was like, no, they want you to do a Kofi spot. So now, you know, we get there that day, and now we have to start thinking about like what's possible. And somehow, some way, we came up with that idea, and then luckily ended up being in the ring with Cesaro of all people. I mean, like I'll put him over to the end of the earth. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it just you know that everything is gonna work out when he's in there.
No, I always think Cesaro and his strength. I think at the time when we first started the New Day, I was probably about 305 to 310. And
big
I was just
boy.
Suggest things, but I always love with him doing the drop down spot. So something where I drop down, I go for the leapfrog, catches me out of midair like it's nothing. Just every time. He's the most physically impressive man in wrestling, I think, because he can do it all. He's quick enough and agile enough to do lucha stuff. He can base for you. Mm-hmm. He can do springboards. Also, you talk about how you have no fear when you're in the ring with him. I have the opposite sometimes. I have all the fear because when I'm there, times when he'll just run at me. Like it's something we didn't even talk about. I remember we had a tag match and I think he did something where I was like selling near the table, the announce table. And he just runs at me and gives me a European.
Yep.
And my eyes are wide open because this man, when he has a pump, he'll still look impressive when he first comes out, but mid-match, get this man sweating. Get the muscles to engage. Get him oiled. See this man with a pump mid-match and the adrenaline starts running. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
What a frightening human being.
Oh, boy.
Just veins.
And he'll hit you from wherever you are. So like,
oh, anywhere.
In one, I think it was also in the Dre. I was legit laying on the bottom rope facing the ramp, and I see him sprinting under the ramp. I'm like, man, again, like, he looks great. And he gets in the ring, and I said, oh, he's coming at me. And he hits me with, like, a downward angled uppercut that, like, looked like I snapped my neck on the bottom rope. Mm. And he just looked at me afterwards. He hit me, and he gets up.
Little smug, walking away. Smug.
What a terrifying human. I was thinking of the story when he chased you, E, at the house show, and you crouched next to the barricade like a terrified animal.
I was a heel. We were heels at the time. And I was like, I can either bow up to this man, but I shouldn't as a heel, or I can cower. But my natural instinct, I didn't even think of like wrestling terms. My natural instinct is this man who is shredded right now, who's about 235 pounds, running like the wind. I'm going to just find a corner.
But you were trying to get over the guardrail at first. And you couldn't make it.
I'm not going to make it. So I had about 2 seconds to try to make it over this guardrail. And I think there was either a security guard in the way or maybe my footing was bad. But I tried to hop over this guardrail. Knew I wasn't going to make it. So I just slowly melted down into this corner. I said, please, sir, don't hit me.
I look over and E is crouched in like the fetal position looking up at him like, what? Can I have some boards, sir? So I was just Jack standing over him just like breathing like a giraffe. Dragon,
my God.
What is going on?
I just laid down. Arn was our producer for that. And I can't say what he referred to me as, but it was very funny.
He called him a 300-pound baby.
Yeah,
but
baby
he didn't
was
say
the word.
Baby. Sure.
Baby was the word.
300-pound.
You can't be out there looking like a 300-pound baby.
It's kind of funnier with baby.
Can I talk to you, son? You're looking out there like a 300-pound baby. So y'all see anything wrong with us?
Got some muscles over here. Just crouch on the ground.
The match is good and all, but you're looking over here like a 300-pound baby. Let me talk to you, son.
So we go 2016. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kane clotheslines you over the top and you land on E's shoulder.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
I like to point out again, I did not do anything. I got clotheslined over onto E's shoulders, and then you, E, took a lap around the ring with me on your shoulders. You're doing all the work,
bro. Popcorn and drinks.
We did have popcorn.
Yeah, we had popcorn, we had drinks, you know.
That was when we weren't in that Rumble, were we?
Oh, you're right.
We were just there.
Okay, so this is the Royal Rumble. I believe that we worked the Usos, so we had the tag match with the Usos. And then afterwards, Kofi alone was in the Rumble.
When I wasn't in it.
Right, so you didn't do a thing that night.
No, I wasn't in the tag match, and I wasn't in the Rumble.
That's right.
Why did they do that?
But you were blowing that trombone, though.
I was.
Blow that horn.
I remember us going, wait, so clearly it's me and Ian in the tag match and Kofi in the Rumble. Like, oh, no, no. It's Kofi in the tag match and then Kofi again in the Rumble.
Yes.
But all three of us are in the Rumble. Oh, no, 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 just Kofi.
No, sir.
So then I'm in the tag match. No, it's Kofi.
Huh?
So, okay.
That's right.
Thanks. And then we went about our day.
Man, that was it.
That was a hell of a day.
Yeah, it was a great day. But you're one of the greatest floor workers of all time.
That's right.
I worked that floor.
That's I will right. say the greatest. Mm. I'll say the greatest.
Who's
better?
I don't know. It's another conversation.
I'm the greatest floor man of all time.
All time.
All right.
Name another.
We'll make a list.
Here comes Hashtag New Day Pod. Name another. I dare.
Yeah. Here comes everybody's, well, actually, yeah, relax.
You work the floor very well.
Inanimate object psychology is my specialty. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Mm-hmm. All right, next Rumble. 2017, Baron knocks you from the ring post, but you hang on, and you come back in for Trouble in Paradise. Was this the one with the
looked like your chest cave.
Yeah.
You did this during rehearsal, and I said, why would you do this? You don't have the padding that I have.
Bro,
that's not a shot either.
Yeah.
But that's all sternum. And the top of those posts, these are the new posts. A few years ago, they changed them over to the thicker post, and it's more flat at the top.
Flat. Yeah.
But
like
a
metal.
This is one of the benefits of not having pectoral muscles.
Is it?
You see? Yeah.
I feel like padding would help
you. Way better.
But so it looked like it touched me. It did not touch me.
What was that noise then?
My hands.
I'm not buying it.
We got to watch it.
Come on. Okay. I'm telling you.
I remember us watching it and go, oh!
I know, because I remember I came back, and I think actually Taker pulled me aside too about not registering it. I was like, oh, I had no idea because I didn't feel anything, you know? So I just literally jumped back and held on. If I were to have had a chest like yours, sir, or a chest like yours, sir, you know, that might have been, pectorally, I don't want to say decapitated, but a pectisectomy, you know?
Pectisectomy.
Right? Pectisectomy, right? I would it would have been taken off, you know? But it wasn't. And that's why I don't have an internal chest, you know?
Internal chest.
Yeah. I have the outer. I have an outer chest. I don't have the internal.
Yeah, let's 2018. Move on.
The chest of the future, y'all.
The next year.
Uh-huh.
So gender throws you over the top rope. And who slides in to make sure your foot does not touch the ground?
That'd be you.
That was me. And then who came in with a plate of pancakes to transfer the foot?
That was me.
Then who tossed Kofi back in the ring with a basket toss?
Basket toss.
My dog.
This is where your cheerleading background
came into play.
Really came
I knew.
Into play here.
I knew one day we'd be able to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So I showed E how to do a basket toss, and we got Kofi in the basket, and we said 1, 2, down, up.
Hup!
Launched him over top of Jinder Mahal, and I'll let you.
I mean, yeah, that was pretty much it.
That was it. Yeah,
I mean, you know, that was it.
That was it.
But I was telling the whole story. And
you told
it all. But it was your idea. And then also, let's talk about the symbolism, you know, the storytelling aspect, us being a family. You know what I'm saying? And for me to get thrown out, but you come sliding in, and then note the point. You were on the ground on your back, and you were pointing. Oh, you got to win. I pointed down. I said, my dog, you my dog. Yeah. So that's the, you know what I mean? That's the bond that we share, okay? To me, that's the highlight. Not the basket toss is cool, but the brotherhood right there. Mm. The E comes sliding in with the pen, and now we're all getting on the same page, and the cauldron gets them bubbling, you know?
Storytelling.
Okay? Okay, put your foot in here. We're going to get you back in there. We're going to do this. Okay? Let's go. Get in there, Kofi. Oh, get into it. You know, I do a little dance. I do a little dance.
You shimmied on him.
You know what I'm saying? And then Jinder came out, and then this might actually be the best part. The pelleting with the pancakes.
Oh, we did.
Oh, y'all took the pancakes.
Violently.
And you fool, you know? Pelleting.
Violently. So I'll let you tell the story.
So you're hanging onto my back, and Primo's trying to pry my fingers loose like a Bugs Bunny cartoon?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got launched onto your back. I'm on your back like a backpack, you know? And then Primo's trying to, you know, plug your fingers off like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. Yeah.
It was literally one by one.
And then,
oh, no!
And I want to point out again, I didn't do anything. That was your strength. That was you holding on.
I'm very strong.
Holding on, strength. You got the grip.
I do.
You know? And we go backwards. And I say, no, Woods, you can do this. You pull yourself back on.
This one was weird.
It was weird.
The ones involving me are weird.
Weird. They're not weird. They're not weird. No.
In 2020, how are you feeling about things this year at the Rumble?
Feel pretty damn good.
Good.
You feel pretty damn good.
If you're listening to this, you know that Kofi won.
That's right.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Congrats to you.
You know?
So you're going to WrestleMania.
Well, we are going to WrestleMania because you know the damn rule, y'all. When one of us wins, we all win.
We all jump in on that.
Come on, man.
We all win. Let them know to count my days as tag team champion.
Yeah, whoever's keeping the records.
Were any of you attendees of the Royal Rumble?
It's a big no, sir. It's a big no.
Yeah, definitely not. But I'm always impressed about like how much hype the Royal Rumble gets. You know
people
what I'm saying?
It.
I feel like probably second to Mania, Rumble's like the one because just the unpredictability, you know? Like you never know who's gonna show up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm impressed by the hype.
Yeah. You know what I enjoy? I enjoy the Rumble parties. I think we often get tweeted stuff. I've seen some people who have these like tattoo parties.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pick a certain number, I think, and if you get that number, you have to tattoo that person somewhere on your body.
Oh, I'm not doing that.
I've seen
if
that
they
before.
Win or just regardless?
No, like, if you draw 25 and whoever comes out at 25, that person is on your body.
So everybody at the party is getting a tattoo regardless?
I believe so. I've seen this before.
No,
I don't know how common this is, but I've seen this.
I'm not doing that.
That's wild.
Well, it's a thing people do. But Rumble parties seem cool.
I think
people get invested.
Having that element of like being able to pick the numbers and you know, you go with whoever comes out at that number. I think that type of situation makes for the fun parties and why people love it so much. Because like other pay-per-views, besides like what? Like back in the day, like Taboo Tuesday. That's like the only other like real like interactive one.
Right.
This one feels super interactive.
Right.
But I think that's what people gravitate towards.
Oh yeah. You know, this is a tangent here. But remember for a while they were doing the thing where fans would vote on, you would have two options for a match.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And fans would, and it was a shoot vote.
Yeah.
And you didn't know until minutes before,
which
that was horrible.
I don't think a lot of people realized that it was a real thing.
For like three matches. Right?
That was horrible. I have one of my worst memories in wrestling is having a match. I was one of those deals where I was definitely in the match and it was either Jack Swagger or Del Rio. And this is definitely before the New Day, obviously. But I thought, so at the time, I think I was a heel and Del Rio was a babyface. Swagger was a heel. So I thought, okay, people are going to wonder. And Del Rio was popular at the time. They're going to vote for him. So I was like, let me spend the majority of the time putting a full match together with Del Rio and have a skeleton with Swagger because I can't remember everything and don't have time. And of course, these jackasses pick Swagger. So we're out there, not for, hey, it's a little like, four-minute TV match, just real quick, whatever. It's a two-seg. It felt like it was 8-8 with a six-minute break. I'm out there forever just cursing all these people. Why would you do this? And a heel-heel match is hard enough. Yeah. It's difficult enough. Who's going to put a heat on who? Who's going to sell? Who's going to blow a comeback? So we just up there, and you know it's Swagger. He'll hit you now. He'll tag you.
Yeah, you lay it in.
So we just up there just hitting each other.
But isn't that
just
what you like?
Bit meat.
Slapping meat.
Slapping meat. A little slapping meat, but there's got to be a point. There was no point. We out there just doing things to each other. Smat psychology? Nope. Structure? Nope. With no plan either. We didn't have time to plan this. We talked for 5 minutes. That was horrible. I just kept thinking, why would people do this? I'm in Gorilla ready to go out. Why would they do this to me? And I'm still new. I'm still trying to figure it out. You know, I've been on the road for like a year or so. Man. Still trying to get my feet wet. This is a horrible experience.
Wasn't there a year though that like the voting got messed up? Where like I forget who it was, like Evan and some. It might have been this same thing. That might be why they ended up voting for that, because the votes got counted like a match ahead of where they were supposed to or something like that.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I wish I could go back and remember who. I think it was Evan Bourne supposed to wrestle somebody, and everyone thought it might have been like Evan and Ray or something like that. I don't know. And everyone thought for 100% this is the match that you want to see, and then for whatever reason, it ended up being like Evan and somebody else. So the same thing happened to them where they had to put a match together, you know, on the fly and just
pitch. Just what matches are going to happen?
Or cut the voting off an hour before. Give
something.
Us some time to put a match together. Or lie. We do it all the
That's
time.
What I'm saying.
If you don't know,
That's
it,
what I'm
yeah.
saying.
Just lie like you always do. I mean, this company would never lie to you. They would never. I'm lying about them lying, actually.
Okay,
I don't know what this has to do with the Royal Rumble,
exactly.
But I...
No, it's because you're eliminating things that you don't like, you know? So as far as Rumble surprises, because you've watched them, you've been in them, is there somebody that was like a huge surprise for you that you were like geeking out for? Or just surprised to see them at all in the Rumble?
Yeah, I can't think of one for me. I think when I was in the ring, Booker T came back as King Booker. That
did you
was
know?
Really cool. I mean, I did know.
Okay.
I did know. But again, but just to be in there and feel, it was same thing with like us bringing out the Hardys at WrestleMania, yeah. right? Where like nobody else knows, but the reaction of Booker coming out, you know, and just being in the presence of that, I think was really cool.
Yeah. One thing, this is not really a me story, but one thing that I always did enjoy is so for Wade Barrett every year would tweet, because it would pop him that Papa Shango was entering the Royal Rumble like a week or so before, and he would just do it to pop himself. He did this for a while. And then one year, Godfather did come back, but yeah. he had no idea. And Wade got pulled aside and got in trouble because they said, why would you do that? Why would you spoil it? But he didn't know. He was just trying to pop himself.
Did he tell him, like, look at my track record?
I think he tried tradition. To explain it, but you know, at that point, no.
God.
Shout out to Charles Wright, by the way.
Charles Wright, man.
What an entertainer. God. Obviously, like, one near and dear to my heart. I love Papa Shango. Mm-hmm. He's incredible. Mm-hmm. So, I'm waiting for him to come back as Shango. Like, for real.
Oh, so you
like
can do the good. Sun thing and just leave us. You want to be a sun? Okay.
I won't leave you.
Xavier Shango.
Yeah. It'll work out. It'll work out. And then the trick for Kof will be I'll love it, make you levitate.
Oh, in the air. I'm like, where was this? Wires, yeah. You could have suspended me above the ring for all these years. Where was this? I was waiting for my daddy to give me my powers.
All right. So thank you guys for listening to this episode of the world's greatest podcast ever, which is entitled The New Day. Feel the power. Hope you guys had a good time watching the Royal Rumble, doing your Rumble parties, probably watching us on Watch Along, all that type of stuff. Remember, every Monday you get a new episode of this incredible podcast. If you want to be part of the conversation on socials, use hashtag New Day Pod to jump in. Tell us how you feel. Tell us what you like. Nothing negative, because we don't need that in our lives.
Mm-mm, get it out.
You could follow me, Xavier Woods, on social media, at Xavier Woods PhD. That's Instagram and Twitter. You can catch me everywhere, because I'm doing everything.
You can follow me on social media at True Kofi on Twitter and The True Kofi on the Instagram.
And I am at WWE Big E on Twitter and Instagram, but I don't care about any of that. Well, if you guys need any special messages, I guess you guys know where to catch E. Speaking of, anywhere you do receive the podcast, anywhere you subscribe, anywhere you follow it, make sure you're giving us 5-star reviews, telling people how great this podcast is. And if you have friends that don't know how to get podcasts, show them. Give them the tutorial. Give them the tutorial so they can also hear our sultry voices coming out of their speakers every Monday morning. And if you don't want to go through the whole process of doing it for them, just tell them to Google it. Google The New Day. Feel the power. And then they'll be on the information superhighway to hearing our sultry tones.
Oh, yes. Yes, Android users, follow the show on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, Google Podcasts, or wherever you may get your podcasts, so you never, ever miss an episode.